Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clown Ilya Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode. It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Hello, everyone! I am reporting as a new woman because the woman you are listening to right now has officially visited Cornelia Street. I'm officially back from New York. I am feeling so much better now. I'm a little bit nasally, so I apologize, but I just have so much to chat with you guys about, so I can't wait to get into today's episode. Now, a lot has happened since we last chatted, so consider this episode a recap, a little catch-up. We're going to be talking about the VMA. OMG, Travis Kelce, Olivia Rodrigo, the beef between her and Taylor, the 1989 tracklist predictions, my Swiftie collab that I have coming out very soon, and the opportunity to watch the Eras Tour movie with me. So all that being said, I want to keep this episode short and sweet since it is a little bit more of a recap, but without further ado, let's get right into it. Now the VMAs are behind us, and if you guys tuned into this or have any sort of social media, you know that Taylor was absolutely the crown jewel of this entire award show. I'm not a huge award show person to begin with. I don't think many people really are. I feel like most of the talk about award shows is actually about like the memeable moments that happen, and Taylor was just so much fun to watch. I really feel like this was the first time outside of the Eras Tour that we've seen her just kind of be herself in her element and doing her own thing, which was really, really enjoyable. But besides that, she had a total full sweep in terms of awards. And I think technically one of you guys corrected me over DM. I think it wasn't a full sweep. I think she won 9 out of the 11 awards that she was up for. But you have to keep in mind with the VMAs or any sort of award show, there are tons of awards that aren't actually announced on TV. Like a lot of the smaller ones that aren't like, you know, Song of the Year, it's a lot more niche. And a lot of those are just kept to announcing privately or online. So allegedly she was up for 11 total, I believe, or maybe it was more than that. I think it was 11. If it was 13, I would remember, but I think it was 11 total. And I think she won 9 of those, but of course she won all of the ones that she would have wanted to take home, like the huge ones that are announced on TV. Now I wanted to share this cute little tidbit of information that one of you guys sent in to me. So one of you guys in my DMs messaged that you're related to Taylor Swift's editor, the one that was up on stage with her while she accepted the award. And you guys messaged me well before the VMAs and said that Taylor actually called him up. Why don't you just call him up? Taylor called him up and said, hey, I want to personally make sure that you're going to be attending the VMAs with me. I want you to sit next to me. And I thought this was so, so special and cool, and just shows that whether Taylor is in the public spotlight or she's completely private and alone, she is always putting her people on pedestals around her, which I absolutely love. And if you watched the show, you saw she had her editor, and I can't remember, I think her producer maybe, stand up there while she accepted several of the awards, which I absolutely love. Now, obviously, we got no announcement, which was a bummer, but kind of to be expected. I mean, I think we were all a little hopeful, but being that we have everything going on with the Eras Tour movie and the actual Eras Tour itself still happening, I wasn't expecting something grand to happen at the VMAs. Plus, she doesn't want to become a one-trick pony where last year she announced Midnights, this year she announces like something else. I think that she's obviously going to want to change that up for the future. But I think the next best thing from getting an announcement was the super fun fashion that we got from Taylor at this event. Now, I'll be completely honest, these two looks are by far not my favorite Taylor looks that we've seen. I like something really over the top, maximalist, dramatic, fun, campy. That's my personal sense of style, but I do want to call out some of the details behind this black Versace look because I think you guys are going to find it really interesting. Like I said, this was a Versace gown. I'm a little unclear if it was a custom gown. I don't believe it is. I'm just not sure what season or collection this particular gown is from. But if you're familiar with Versace and their work, they put their symbol similar to, think Starbucks, that Little Mermaid woman. Their symbol that they use often is a Medusa. So all of the gold buttons that you see all down Taylor's dress and the seams are those infamous little Medusa icon buttons. And I want to call out from Taylor Swift Styled. This is on Instagram. Her account is at Taylor Swift Styled with a D at the end. I absolutely love her account. She does an amazing job every time Taylor is in an outfit. She calls out a lot of the details, but she pointed out that this was actually Taylor's first time wearing black to the VMAs, which I thought was interesting and made a little bit more sense to me, especially because we are long awaiting the release of Reputation. But she did also call out that she did not do her signature red lip. But she might have done her signature red lip for the Versace gown outfit, but she did do her signature red lip for the after party, which we'll get into in a minute. So this black kind of slinky number, if you will, it was kind of simple, a little bit like, it was still had two straps. It was more heavy on one shoulder though. I have to talk to you guys about the jewelry. This is where it really comes together for me as like, okay, I get where she was going with this. Her jewelry alone for this look, this is not the dress, not the shoes, not the makeup and all of that included. The jewelry alone that we know the price of was $85,000. That's how much she was wearing. There are other items, like I think a diamond ring that doesn't even have a price listed online because you have to get it custom made. Holy moly. She's wearing, I would say, with the ring and all of the little pocket change that we're probably missing, probably over $100,000 in jewelry. But if you aren't familiar with the fashion world, most likely these are loaner items. And again, if you like Taylor Swift's styled page, she does have a blog as well. She's talked about this before where it might be a loan where a company is like, hey, we just want Taylor Swift to be seen wearing these items. We would love for her to wear them. Or they might gift them to her. So brands might say, hey, we would love to give this to you, the same way a brand might send something to an influencer. Or she obviously could have purchased it very well. So I think one of her ring or one of her necklaces alone was like $46,000. Absolutely bananas. And I really think the jewelry, the nice thing about a black dress or any black outfit is that it allows your jewelry to really come alive. So that's crazy. And speaking of jewelry, if you saw this little outtake from the VMAs, she actually broke one of her rings while dancing or standing there. I don't really know what she was doing, but it was a $12,000 ring. The brand is Van Cleef & Arpels, which I am very familiar with that brand. I hope I'm saying it right because it is my mom's absolute favorite jewelry brand, luxury jewelry brand, if you will. They are very well known for, if you're familiar, Sofia Richie wears them, I think every single day. They are like these little kind of like clover shaped, like four little humps bracelets. They make bracelets, necklaces. You would know what I'm talking about. If you look up Van Cleef & Arpels, maybe if I remember, I'll send a picture to the broadcast channel. But regardless, she was wearing one of their rings. It was $12,000. And I don't know if like the diamond fell out of it, or I'm assuming that's what happened. And everyone was on their hands and knees during like a break in the show looking for it. And apparently they found it. So that's great. But there's a really funny meme of Taylor's face when she realizes that the diamond or whatever on her ring is broken. So if I can find it, I'll send it to you guys in the broadcast channel because I thought I would just call that out. Now, transitioning from the black Versace look, let's talk about the after party look. This was an interesting choice for Taylor. And one thing I feel like a lot of people forget about when talking about Taylor and fashion choices is that Taylor is almost 6 foot tall. So anything that would be tailored for the average size woman, which is like 5'5", is going to be definitely a lot more mini on her. This was a denim mini spaghetti strap number, and I think it's cute. Do I think it is after party VMAs cute? Probably not. And I probably would have styled it differently if I'm being completely honest. But interesting call out that one of you sent to me is that Sabrina Carpenter actually recently-ish wore this exact outfit. Now I was able to find it online. It's from EB Denim, which is a brand I had never heard of before. And contrast to the bajillion dollar Versace outfit that she was wearing earlier in the night, this only cost $480, which yes, is still a lot, but for in contrast and in Taylor money, that's pretty much free. So this is a lot more of a casual look. She paired it with a sparkly platform heel, and then she did add her signature red lip with the denim, which I think is suitable. But the hair, you guys, we have to talk about the hair. I'm not a fan. It was giving mullet, and I love, 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 love our girl, but I wish we could have seen something a little more exciting. I would have loved like even space buns, like, you know, Folklore Evermore vibe space buns would have been really cute with the denim look. I wasn't vibing with her hair the whole night, but regardless, I'm loving the natural curly hair era that she's in. So we're going to fully embrace it and move right on along. Now that was the VMAs. Coming out of the VMAs, let's just talk about like what's been going on and what's been said about Taylor in the media recently. So before we get into her love life, if you will, let's talk about friendships because Olivia Rodrigo has been all over the place recently, not only because her new album, which OMG, I am so, so, so obsessed. I just signed up for the pre-sale and I am so excited. I'm hoping to go opening night here in Palm Springs, California. I don't live in Palm Springs, but it's here in Palm Springs. I signed up for opening night. I'm crossing my fingers that I can get tickets. I'm so excited and I love this album so much. But that being said, we know that there's been a little bit of riff between Taylor and Olivia, and I wouldn't even call it riff. Taylor basically is credited on the song Deja Vu, which I can do a whole episode on this if you guys are interested. I just don't think it's totally necessary. But if you're unfamiliar, taking you back a little bit, we all know the song Deja Vu. This really put Olivia Rodrigo on the map. Taylor is actually credited as a writer. I think the sole writer, maybe not the sole writer. She's credited on this song regardless because Olivia Rodrigo sampled Cruel Summer to write this song. If you listen to them very closely, you can see a big crossover. And if you have TikTok, go ahead and type in like Deja Vu, Cruel Summer comparison. And there's a guy on there. I'm not familiar with his username, but I know he did an exact comparison. If I can find it, I'll send it. A lot of people have done the comparison, so you'll be able to find it regardless. But essentially, because she sampled this song, Taylor then, I don't know if there was like an option for Taylor to go to her and be like, hey, add me as a writer so I can make money off of this, or I'm gonna sue you. Like, that's typically how it goes. But Olivia did have to credit Taylor, so that is an interesting little nod. I don't really think that this was like a huge falling out. There's never really been a ton of information as to like how this was gone about in terms of like Olivia and Taylor, but there was a lot of speculation following a recent interview. I would say not the most recent, but maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, when Olivia Rodrigo was interviewed asking about the Eras Tour. An interviewer said like, hey, have you been able to attend the Eras Tour yet? What did you think? What are your thoughts? And she's like, oh no, I've been really busy, which was totally understandable being that she was literally planning her album coming out in like a week and she was planning this world tour. But it got totally spun, a lot of speculation around like, are they not friends anymore? Will she not attend the tour? Obviously, with Sabrina Carpenter now opening on all of the international shows, I think that also added fuel to the fire. But once the album came out, there are two songs that I've seen a lot of people reference that they think might be about Taylor. And those two songs are Lacey and The Grudge. I don't know. I'm not like totally sold that either of these are about Taylor. I really don't think any of Olivia Rodrigo's album are, I don't know. It just doesn't scream revenge to me. I don't know. I just don't see that being the case. Plus, Olivia has stated so many times that Taylor is such an idol to her. I don't think that she would want to go. Taylor's a force to be reckoned with. We know that. So I really don't think she would want to go down that path, especially if she is or was a Taylor fan at some point. She knows where that would take her. So I just don't think she would write a song about her. But a lot of people are saying that, so I thought I'd tell you guys. And then I am going to try to find this interview and send it if I can find the direct link. But she did squash sort of like the beef because she's been asked about it so many times recently. And I don't want to even quote anything or try to come up with what she said, but essentially she was squashing it. She didn't directly mention Taylor, but she did say something along the lines of like, I don't want to speculate about things. There's so many things swirling around online, something like that. So that's that about Olivia Rodrigo. Let's switch gears into the football world. Do I know anything about football? No. Do I know anything about sports? No. But hello, insert Travis Kelce. Now I'm second guessing, is that his name? Hold on, I have to Google. Travis Kelce. Okay, it is. Good. I got a little nervous at that. That wasn't even his name. Travis Kelce. Let's talk about him. I want to preface this by saying, before any of you get mad and start DMing me, I know that Mother does not like us to speculate about her love life. We are not speculating. We are merely going on a little journey down who is Travis Kelce and what do we need to know about him. That is all. We are not going to speculate any further than the facts. So let's get into the facts. Today, Travis Kelce was playing a football game on ESPN. I was in the other room, and the amount of literal Taylor Swift puns that they were spewing while this man was playing football was absolutely hilarious. So there is a link that someone compiled all of these, and I will be sending it to you because it is a hoot and a half. But nonetheless, here are the facts. So we absolutely love, this is green flag number one, Travis Kelce is 33 years old. That means he was born on October 5th, 1989. How cute. 1989. We love that for him. He was born in Ohio. He has won the Super Bowl twice, so we know that he is equipped monetarily, if you know what I mean. And I have no idea what this means, but maybe if you have a boyfriend or a dad or a well-versed female in your life on sports, you would know what a tight end means. Allegedly, that is his position that he plays, which is hilarious sounding to me, but he's a tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a Midwestern boy. And while we know height does not matter, I have to call this out because he is 6'5", ladies and gentlemen. 6'5", which, mind you, being that Taylor is nearly 6 foot herself at 5'11", this seems like he might be a good contender for our girl. Now, back in July, he did attend the Eras Tour, and he did try to give Taylor a friendship bracelet that had his number on it, which I have to add, this is awfully adorable, if you ask me, and very creative, and I do believe that most likely a female in his life did instruct him to do this. But in several interviews following that, around August or early August, he was asked, hey, did the friendship bracelet work? And he just kept saying no comment, no comment, no comment. So the fact that he wouldn't say like, oh yeah, no, she like totally, it didn't work out, or like it was just for fun, I feel like, yes, she did call him, right? And now with all of these rumors swirling that they've hung out, I'm getting good vibes. I don't know about you, but that's where I will leave it with our boy Travis Kelce for now. And let's switch gears and talk about the 1989 track list. I don't have anything to tell you. I don't know anything. I don't really have much to speculate. Obviously, we all have like people that we want featured on the album, and I feel like that's what people are most excited about when it comes to the track list, obviously. Mother has been keeping us fed for like 62 ages, and I'm getting hungry. That's where I'm gonna leave it with this. I did a little girl math because I wanted something to look forward to. So we currently have, at the time of this episode coming out, 26 days until the Eras Tour movie. We also have 40 days until Speak Now TV comes out. So that means she's obviously not going to release the track list anywhere around the time that the movie comes out, because there's just going to be so much press and hubbub going on with the movie that I think she's going to want to space it out. So realistically, if we've got 26 days till a movie, 40 days till it comes out, what is that? 14 days in between those? Oh my God, exactly 2 weeks. So what is 2 weeks? I'm doing the math while we're doing this. This is great. 2 weeks before October 13th would put us at what? Like October, basically 2 weeks from now. Hold your horses. I'm pulling up my phone right now. October 13th. That would put us at next Friday, September 29th, if we're doing this whole two-week spread apart thing. Nonetheless, all of this said, we are getting the track list. Mark my words. This week or next week, no later. No later than the 29th of September, I believe we will have the track list in our hands. And you bet your bottom dollar, I will be doing a full episode on it. So that is that. Now, two quick call-outs before we get into my little section at the end where we talk about something that you guys sent in. I am so beyond jazzed. I've been giving you guys sneak peeks. I'm coming out with a collection with the brand Castle Crystals, all sorts of Swiftie crystalled, 1989 themed and Swiftie school themed apparel items, keychains, pop sockets for your phone. I cannot wait. We have a super exciting giveaway coming as well. So make sure to stay tuned for that. I'll be posting in my feed and reels. I'm going to do an unboxing probably the same day this is going up. So look out for that. I cannot wait for you guys to get your hands on everything. Don't worry. It will be out ahead of 1989. So you can wear it to the movie. You can wear it for the Speak Now release, all of that. Why do I keep saying Speak Now? Oh my gosh. I just realized I said Speak Now. I meant 1989. Oh gosh, I'm not going to go back and edit that, but if you caught that, so sorry. Now, in terms of the Eras Tour movie, you guys are going to have the chance to see it with me, and I have been working so hard on this. I'm so excited. I shouldn't even take the credit. My lovely assistant, Sarah, has been working so hard on this for me. We are hosting, by we, I mean me, I am hosting an Eras Tour movie private screening for all of my Swiftie school gals, and I am so excited. So how this is going to work is I'm going to be sending out an interest form this week. I need you guys to fill out the interest form. Tell me all of the details, what dates work best for you. Everything's going to be on this interest form, and it's so imperative to make sure to double, triple check that you're putting in your correct info, because the people that are filling out the interest form are going to get first dibs depending on how much interest there actually is. So I will be contacting you probably the following week with the actual link to sign up to buy your ticket. And I'm just so, so very excited. Now, I want to make sure everyone is able to like see the movie on the 13th or 14th or 15th that weekend when it first comes out. So this will be probably the following week or two. Have some time to let it marinate, and then we can all go and see it again, because why not? So not to fear, you're going to have time to like go use your normal tickets that you probably already bought, just like me. And then we will go sometime later in the month of October, and we could all go see it together, and it'll be so, so fun, and I seriously cannot wait. Now, you guys know we like to end every episode with a little something that one of you guys sent in. So I just thought this was cute. It was an anonymous theory that someone sent in, and they said, "It is not my theory, but I saw it on Instagram that there are 146 shows. 1 plus 4 plus 6 equals 11. So if she added two more shows, it would equal 13, which I totally love. I truly do not think that she's done. We haven't gotten any show announcements in a while. And I know for a bit there were like a ton of rumors going around that Canada was going to have a lot more shows added. Not totally sure. I know that we've been getting the announcements for new shows in kind of clusters. It seemed like for a while they were like announcing, you know, every few days, like more and more shows. So I don't know if we're going to get like another cluster of shows announced, but following the kind of timeline that I was going on earlier, it seems like we are pretty booked in terms of like 26 days out from Eras Tour, 40 days from Speak Now, 53 days from Argentina starting. So I'm not totally sure when she would have a little gap to like start adding in a bunch of shows, but who knows? Maybe she's just going to throw up a random Instagram post and we'll all be clowns and clown together. Anywho, this was a fun little recap. I totally miss you guys. I hope you guys have your cardigans ready because I feel like fall is officially here and I'm just so excited. Can't wait to see you guys at the Eras Tour movie. Stay tuned for the link and all of the things on the broadcast channel, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time.